You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Kissing Basilisks, Chapter 10. Sage doesn't do houses. Magic users and their real estate. It's a whole thing. The more time you spend between certain walls, the more they soak up who you are and how you practice magic. Everything from the paint to the carpet to the furniture becomes like a ghost of every choice you've ever made. The Hallow Mums, their place is like that. Generations of Hallows have cast spells in that farmhouse, and it feels like family. Feels like them. The Manic Pixie Dream House is newer. We've only been there a couple of years. But it's already started, that faint wash of us that fills it. Give us about 3 more decades and I'd recognise a teacup that once passed through our kitchen. This house should have punched me in the face with how awesome it was. That's the real dream for fancy basilisk bored warlock families, right? A house that drips with their own magical privilege, heritage and other things that rhyme with edge. A personal signature, bleeding under the wallpaper. Instead, this place tasted like day-old paint at the back of my throat. Someone had stripped it bare recently. Our Ferd was not taking it well, which was par for the course of how he was handling everything right now. After his sister dropped the summer solstice bomb, he just reeled away from her and stared out the window a bunch. I should have known, he muttered to himself. Of course it wasn't going to just come back on its own. Of course they pulled some epic sacrificial shit just like I warned them not to. Because what I want is never important. Sadie's magic wasn't anything like her brother's. It was elegant and careful, like a cool breeze sweeping past a designer perfume factory. Finishing school magic, Vale used to call it. When some scion of an upmarket family, usually a girl, gets sent off to have her minor magic polished and prettied up, to cover the fact that her levels are as basic as they come. Basic sons of fancy families don't have to bother with that shit. They just get poured into designer suits, given high-up company jobs where they can order around people with more magic than they have in their little finger. If only Ferd's lab accident had bumped him down from mighty magic to basic, his family could have worked with it. But no one on the Basilisk board wants a null in the family. Looking at Ferd now, his stormy magic crumpled around him like a coat about to explode, I sort of saw their point. Having a kid like this born into their family, with these levels of untapped power, must have been like all their solstices came at once. Even I wanted to lick his neck. No wonder Jules had been crushing on his best mate for years. Bad enough Ferd looks like he should be modelling scarves or cigars in a Paris magazine shoot. But power like this? If I was Jules, I'd have thrown myself into Ferd's lap years ago, before anyone else had a chance. I can't remember, Ferd said now, hands braced angrily against the windowsill. Why can't I remember? I'm sure I didn't come to the solstice. It was Hebe's graduation day. Yeah, you blew that off, I volunteered helpfully. You never turned up. Not at the ceremony, anyway. I think you came later. It was a wild night. Art show, karaoke at the pub, secret nightclub, intense late-night Dungeons and Dragons sesh. You definitely showed at some point, but it was way late. Hebe was spitting chips. Ferd's shoulders hunched. I was going to go to her graduation. Why wouldn't I go? You were here, Sadie spoke up. You came to the house. Maybe it was to tell Mum and Dad you wouldn't be staying for lunch. I know you had some kind of blazing row with Dad in his study, and then we all came in here. She shrugged, looking uncomfortable. It was set up already. I thought it was for a healing ritual. Ferd turned around, furious. I didn't ask for a fucking healing ritual. Settle, Petal, she said sharply. I didn't do this to you. No, you sat back and watched while they did it. They didn't do anything to you either. She looked close to tears. They did it to our house. Filled the circle with all the magic they could drain from our home. And you were so ungrateful. They gave up everything if you were going to walk away. Good, Ferd yelled at her. I wanted to walk away. That was my choice, Sadie. I should never have come. What happened to the magic? I interrupted. They didn't just shove the house magic in Ferd. That wouldn't work, right? I was dredging my second year demonstrative thaumaturgical phenomena lectures now. You could store a person's magic in an inanimate object for a while. For some of the old warlocks, a while meant a century or two, but I'd never heard of it going the other way. They had a void crystal, said Sadie, miserably. They sacrificed the house's magic. What? Ferd looked blank. But that's stupid. What a waste. It worked, didn't it? She flung at him. No, of course it didn't work. My magic didn't suddenly come back because of some pointless eldritch faith ritual. He looked momentarily horrified. This is my magic, right? It's not the house's magic. I would know the difference. Don't look at me, mate, I advised him. We didn't exactly hang out back when you were fully juiced. I didn't know what your magic is supposed to be like. Bet you taste like a shadowmancer right now. He nodded and held a hand out to the nearest wall. A black mark blossomed there like a bruise and then was swallowed by the cream paintwork. What they did wasn't a sacrifice, Sadie. It was vandalism. You can't go around emptying houses of centuries of magical history. Some more details from an old Demthornthen lecture came back to me in a rush. No, you really can't. We should get out of here. This could get bad. Fast. Sadie gave me a scornful look. I'm not leaving my house because of some superstition. We have to wait for Mum and Dad. They'll be back from brunch soon. And they'll be so pleased to see you, Ferdinand. So pleased that it... Don't say it worked, Ferd barked at her. Nothing worked. And if you think I'm waiting around so they can be all smug about this incredibly fucked up situation, then... His expression changed suddenly. Sage? Shit. I can't move my hand. He tugged at his palm, which was connected to the white wall of the practice studio. I went over to him, feeling his magic burn against mine as I approached. It didn't want me near him, and neither did the house. The floor shook underfoot. Sadie cried out as she fell over. She leapt up immediately and ran to the door, but the doorknob sparked at her touch. I can't open it. No time to worry about a lack of exits right now. I let my own momentum carry me to Ferd. He couldn't free his hand, and he was burning up hot. Black veins of magic ran from his palm into the wall. It's trying to feed on my magic, he said, outraged. What the hell? Yeah, well, your parents starved it, I said, hovering close but making sure not to touch the walls myself. Bad enough I was making contact with the floor. Shit. The floor. Ferd's feet were still bare. This house is hungry. I looked down and saw more black veins of magic running out of Ferd's feet into the polished floorboards. Shit on a sandwich. I took a deep breath, mentally running through the horror stories I'd heard about magic houses gone bad, turned against their owners, starved of magic. You don't want a magical house to go hungry. That's when shit like the Fall of Camelot goes down. Nero's Golden House. Atlantis. We needed Vale and her practical mythology expertise. Here, like now. We needed all the damn Thornfen professors on speed dial. No. We needed Hebe. Hebe was good with houses. I pulled out my phone, wrapped as always in cords and salt, because tech and magic don't always love each other. A bolt of black lightning crashed up out of the floorboards and smashed my phone into the ceiling. Salt and bits of metal fell around us. Grab mine, said Ferd, breathing hard. All the house has to work with right now is Shadowmancy, taken from me. It won't recognise my phone as an enemy. Seemed like a long shot, but I wasn't arguing. I slid out his phone in a fancy schmancy magic-proof leather case. Isn't it nice to have money? And saw there are a bunch of texts, including one from Vale. I put a call through fast, and she picked up like she'd been waiting for it. Shove. Vale, I said calmly. She sounded anything but calm to find me on Ferd's phone. Sage? What the hell's going on? We're at his place. Like, his old place? Beachfront Gothic Nightmare Avenue. Shit, she said, startled. Why? It's a long story, babe. Can you get here fast? And bring Hebe. We're gonna need her. What? Ferd said, swinging around and gasping with pain as his arm didn't twist that way. No, don't bring Hebe. Too late. I'd already hung up. She's coming. You need house magic. Domestic shit. All I've got to throw at this problem is power, and in case you hadn't noticed, your house wants to eat all available power with a spoon. Anyway, why shouldn't I call her? Was he embarrassed to be stuck to a wall in front of his girlfriend? Cute. Said Ferd's sister, hesitantly. Is that the same Hebe who broke up with him a week ago? Are you sure she's going to want to help us? I stared at her. Ferd's mouth fell open, just as shocked. What? We demanded, in unison. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. Next week, we will be back with Juniper's point of view. So that'll be fun. Okay, you can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR. Find me on Facebook at TansyRRBooks. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. This story, Kissing Basilisks, is going to be compiled in the next Belladonna U collection, Holiday Brew, which will include Halloween is Not a Verb, and a story called Solstice on the Rocks, which you'll be able to read for the first time in that collection. And my patrons will, of course, receive the collection first. So keep that in mind. See you next week.